Thank you for pressing play. You are listening to a sponsored podcast series produced by Think Tenacity Podcast, funded by Greenwich Mental Health Hub, which is a service run in partnership with Romley, Lewisham and Greenwich Mind, Oxley NHS and Bridge Support. Guys, tune in to our special podcast series of 3 episodes and a bonus episode. We are excited to announce group support for generational trauma and Black mental health is now available. Just visit thinktenacitypodcast.com and sign up free today, as spaces are limited. Leon, can you tell me the date that you started your practice?
2018.
And what was your inspiration?
Be the change that you want to see. I became a coach also for young people, not like a sports coach, but sort of like a support coach for them. And then it just got me thinking and kind of looking at other options. And then I looked up what counselling and therapy was. I knew about it. Then I started to do it between my shift work, what I was doing at the time, and my other job. And I just got more and more involved in it. And then finally I said, right, I'm going to do it. I want to do it full time. And that's what I started to do. So that was my real inspiration behind it.
And how can clients book you? Is it face-to-face or via Zoom?
Face-to-face, Zoom, or just telephone. Some people feel more at ease just talking over the telephone. So I can do telephone and therapy, face-to-face therapy, or in Teams or Zoom or Google Meet therapy. Depends on the needs of the client. But it's just the way we're communicating. So some people are struggling to actually come out or leave the space, so it might be just simpler and easier for them to do it online. Other people like the face-to-face connection. I can do that as well. I can accommodate quite a few different challenges or ways or modality of working with clients.
And what type of mental conditions do you support?
Depression, anxiety is usually the first that comes up, but then we can go to abuse, physical, verbal, sexual, emotional abuse, workplace stress, families, conflict, couples conflict, family breakdown. It depends potentially on the client, but trauma doesn't care what colour you are. So what you've gone through or how rich you are, how poor you are, it's if it gets you, it hits you, or it's presented to you, it's just finding the right therapist that you feel you are able to connect with to walk through the trauma that you've gone through.
What qualifications did you take to become a therapist?
Basic counselling skills, level 2, then level 3, then level 4. Once you've done the level 4 diploma, you're able to start practising. I'm a person that likes to continually develop my skills. So then there's a level 5, there's a level 6, which I'm currently doing at the moment, which is in a master's in psychological therapies and intervention. And hopefully, following that, I like to do a doctorate. So that's the general goal of for myself, just to continue to develop myself and never be satisfied with my learning, never be satisfied with what I'm presenting or my knowledge, because as life keeps on lifing, I've got to keep on learning.
On Think Tenacity Podcast, we ask all of our guests this question. Do you think Black people should have access to Black therapists?
A resounding yes. Is it necessary? In part, yes, but it's also about connectivity. Having a Black therapist is not the be-all, end-all, but it's a lot more easier to relate to someone who's gone through what you've gone through. I'll say it like this. The same way we've got refugee specialist counsellors, same way we've got counsellors which are specialised and trained in child abuse and sexualised abuse. So why not we have counsellors trained only, especially in for people of colour? Because first of all, what I've realised with some of my clients, they don't have to armour up. They don't have to explain the small colloquialisms in the conversation, which another person who's not Black may not understand. They could rock up to my therapy space in a do-rag or a hat, I'll think nothing else of it. They wouldn't question it. They can change their hair each week and I'll think nothing else of it, which they've had to explain to other people or other therapists, what my clients have said before, that one week I've got shiny bumps and another week I've changed my style. And the therapist said, I noticed that you changed your hairstyle. Has there been a change in yourself? And the client had to say, no, not at all. I just wanted a different hairstyle. And they felt then they almost on the back foot when they're questioning themselves. So having a therapist of colour is a great help, a black therapist for sure, but it's not the B-word, and it's about relating to the client, what's going on for the client, that the client feel able to feel that they're emotionally held, that the client able to feel that this particular therapist can understand my stuff, what's going on inside me.
What are your views on the lack of communication amongst our brothers and black men may be not as comfortable to talk about their struggles with mental health? Why do you think that is?
I think primarily men in general are viewed or supposed to be viewed as strong, first of all. Then, especially for black men, are supposed to be viewed as strong, but it's also enhanced and toxified with the music and videos that we're watching or the actual community has been given. So a lot of them is all about killing, a lot of them's all about sexing and the misogynistic language that has been given out, that men should be like this, and it's almost celebrated. No, it isn't. It's not almost. It certainly is celebrated. That is almost victorious, that you have more than one woman and that you treat her in a certain way. And it's put out there in the community. So our young men are hearing that, growing up with that same kind of toxic attitude. And therefore now when they do go through stuff and maybe they want to relearn, maybe they want to rethink of how they've been thinking, it's a lot harder. So the conversation amongst each other that they do have, it's very easy to express anger for black men. It's very easy to express misogynistic behaviour, but to express whatever they're still going through is shunned upon sometimes. So that part, to express themselves any other way apart from anger, misogyny or sexualized behaviour, it's almost deemed as abnormal. But slowly but surely that narrative is changing.
What do you think we could do to break that change in our culture amongst black men, to give them that safe space and to encourage them that it's okay to talk about their mental health? What do you think we could do?
Well, it's the same way the message you've been getting that in regards to the music videos, the movies that we watch, the series that we watch, the books that have been given out. It's the same message, but it's changed the actual players. So just have that type of conversation, whether we're talking about football, politics, and mental health, whether we're talking about cooking and going down to the fast food shops and mental health. Have that space. Yeah, I'm struggling with this. Oh, this has been an issue for me. Oh, wow. Have you seen that new program on mental health? Have you heard that new podcast about mental health? It's different. It's entertaining, but it's engaging and it's very helpful. We don't mind sharing information where we can get the latest kicks from or latest trainers, or we've seen the new movie, the new Marvel coming out or whatever else. But why don't we put the same effort into mental health?
Why do you think in our community we do struggle in general to share our mental health or be honest with somebody else in our community that we might be diagnosed with anxiety, depression? Why do you think, as black people, we are so nervous and uncomfortable sharing our mental health struggles?
There's a lot of shame and also lack of understanding of some of the issues that we as humans, first of all, struggle with, but then as a black community, then struggle with. And it's almost like we haven't been taught to articulate what's going on for ourselves. We haven't been given the language to actually and space to be believed. So therefore, if we present something, then it could be deemed as weak. It could be deemed as you have an illness. It could be deemed as that you might infect others with what's going on inside of you. And lack of understanding. So let's not forget that we have generations above us that may not have actually understood mental illnesses understood what's being presented, but yet they've gone through it.
We are excited to announce group support for generational trauma and Black mental health is now available. Just visit thinktenacitypodcast.com and sign up free today, as spaces are limited.
And for the listeners who may want to take up therapy with yourself, who have never experienced or know what therapy is, what would you say the benefits are of therapy?
I put it this way, the benefits of going to the gym, what are the benefits of taking your car for MOT? It's huge benefits that you're a lot more mobile, you're a lot more energetic, you're a lot more fitter and stronger. It's mandatory you take our car for MOT. So do we treat our mental health the same way? Sometimes we look out for the exterior more than the interior. Unless we're well, we all won't be well. So we've got to be well. So what's the benefits of therapy? It's about you. You'll be able to understand you more. You reflect more. You're more aware. You're more self-aware. You're understanding your why of why you respond in a certain way. Because learning and what we understand is all around us. But sometimes what we've absorbed, what we've taken in, we may not be aware of. So if we can understand, why do I respond like that? Why do I feel like that? Why do I feel triggered? Then you may not be so easily manipulated or misunderstood because you understand yourself more.
Why do you think there is Black mental health stigma? Why do you think it exists?
Different variations of why, whether it's racial, whether it's psychological, whether it's financial, whether it's through migration and where people move from one location to another, and lack of help, lack of understanding, institutions of police, health, judicial. We're just another community and people as anybody else, but if we're not receiving the same help or lack of it, it creates another barrier. So therefore, within ourselves, we have a conversation, but we have an inner dialogue, but we don't express it. So there's a lack of communication with each other, first of all. And there's also, because there's lack of communication, there's lack of help and lack of understanding.
Yes. Tell me a little bit more about the masters that you're studying.
In truth, I'm studying two masters. One master's is in systemic therapies, which is families and groups and working with young children and parental breakdown. And another master's, which I'm in the final stages of, is psychological therapies and interventions. So that's more about diagnosing and understanding traumas, and also research methods into understanding what the journey is for people and how to create solutions for different various traumas out there. Likewise, also for the communities, I'm finding hopefully different ways of presenting answers and solutions for those who may not be able to articulate themselves, who may not understand what therapy is, and just creating a different barrier, or should I say, a different bridge to engage people in therapy.
You're writing a dissertation which involves the Black community and Black churches. What's the title of your dissertation?
How do congregants in Black majority churches perceive therapy in non-religious settings? It's more about understanding how do Black community and the Black congregants who attend Black majority churches, doesn't mean that they're all Black, but just anybody who goes to Black majority church, how do they perceive therapy? What's the actual kind of, if there's any barriers, if there's any enablers, what are the kind of thoughts and processes, how they view therapy? Are the peers or the pastors or the elders of the church also viewing therapy in a certain way, which could be presenting therapy in a more introductory way or preventing therapy for people? What's their view on therapy? Do they encourage therapy? Is it seen as devil's work? Just understanding how the congregants view or perceive therapy. Therefore, if we can change the perception in places like churches and communities, halls and clubs, therefore we can therefore allow maybe a space for people to start releasing some of the traumas that they've gone through. that attend black majority churches?
Yes, because we do have a culture within our black community that there can be a negative impact from some of the churches and a positive impact from some of the churches. And sometimes a negative impact could influence the mental health to deteriorate and get worse.
Yeah.
Because it may not have been taken seriously in the first time. And it might also affect others speaking up about their mental health because they're scared of the stigma they might receive.
Sure. That is literally some of the actual understandings and findings that's been presented.
As a therapist, you also need to look after your self-care. So how do you manage your stress levels at work?
My favourite things I like to do is just simply be still. I do like a flotation tank or steam room, and I do try to walk daily, whether it's 15 minutes, an hour, but I try to walk daily before the day begins, and then ground myself at the end of the day and just stop and be still sometimes.
If you had an extra hour a day for self-care, what would you do?
I certainly eat a lot more. I'm a huge foodie. So.
If you were not a black therapist and you had a chance to have any dream career, what would be your dream career that you would want to do?
I'd love to be a travel consultant of hotels. Travel the world, traveling different hotels and different restaurants, just blogging and literally giving a review. Dream job.
Oh, that does sound like a dream job. For the listeners, if they want to get in contact with you, where can they find you on social media and what's your website, please, Leon?
Sure. My website is all the W's, a safe place to talk. And two is number2talk.co.uk, or follow me on Instagram at Safe Place to Talk 1-to-1, or likewise, you can follow me on Facebook.
Thank you for sharing that, and we'll add those to the podcast show notes.
So guys, you made it to the end of our podcast series. Give yourselves a round of applause. Thank you so much for tuning in to Think Tenacity podcast series. If you'd like to get in touch with us, drop us an email to podcast@thinktenacity.com. You can also follow us on any of our social media platforms by searching Think Tenacity. You are listening to a sponsored podcast series produced by Think Tenacity Podcast, funded by Greenwich Mental Health Hub, which is a service run in partnership with Romley, Lewisham and Greenwich Mind, Oxley NHS and Bridge Support. Guys, tune in to our special podcast series of 3 episodes and a bonus episode. We are excited to announce group support for generational trauma and black mental health is now available, and sign up free today as spaces are limited. Just visit thinktenacitypodcast.com.